This Torah class is brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.
Okay, good morning, Rabbi Yisai. Agutiar, Gemara Chasima Taiva. We're discussing the following sugya, which we were in the middle of from last time. Namely, let's say a arus and an arusa, they were engaged, and she's pregnant. And basically, the case originally was thought to be where the arus was maida, that he lived with the arusa. They were maida, they lived together. And she's pregnant, so there's a very surprising sheet of Rav that the child's a vadei mamzer. And the reason is, because if they were so loose that they were living together as an arus and an arusa, then we have to suspect that she was mazana. And that suspicion is so strong that we assume it was from somebody else. Shmuel says, no, it's a suffik mamzer, the Vlad is a shtuki. Now that's a very big chiddush. It's based on the fact that basically so they were moida, that they lived together. However, today we're going to have a different version of this machlokes. And according to this version, if they were moida that they lived together, there's no question the Vlad is not a mamzer, we assume it came from him. Here we're talking about a scenario where there's no evidence. They were not moida that they lived together. So we're up to the Ika da Amri, four lines from the bottom, Samach Tesamud Beis. Ika da Amri, Beba'ala, if he lived with her, Kulei Amaloi Pligi, the whole world does not disagree, De Basre Didei Shadinale, that we assume that it came from him. De Basre Didei Shadinale. In other words, Biba Aleha means, if the Arus says, and they admit, that they live together, then we don't question the validity of this Vlad, we assume it was him. V'hachi itmar. This is the story. Not Haba al Arusasai. Arusa she'ibra. They were never moida, they lived together. We just found, one day, this Arusa was pregnant. Rav Amar HaVlad Mamzer, Ushmol Amar HaVlad Shesuki. Amar Rava, Mistavra milse de Rav. It's mistaber that the words of Rav apply. Deloi daima mine. We're not suspecting of him. In other words, the case where Rav said the Vlav's a mamzer is we don't presume that it came from him. There are no suspicions of him. Now, what does that mean? It doesn't just mean we don't have suspicions of him. It means he did not announce that he was living with her. Deloy daima mene, we don't suspect, we have no reason to suspect him. V'daima meyama, but there is reason to be suspicious that she lived with other people. That's when Rav said the Vlad is a shtuki, a mamzer. Aval daima mene. But if he said he lived with her, the way Tosis explains it, look on top left hand Tosis. Perish daima minei sheba olea bavadai. And daima me'alma means there's bad rumors that she was lived with others. Di daima minei nami shemra ba'alma. Daima minei does not mean just suspicions. Because as Tosfos is going to point out, then the raya that Rava brings from the Mishnah would not work out. So again, Tosfos learns, daima mine doesn't just mean we have suspicions. It means where he definitely lived with her. So it's mistaber that the matter of Rav, where he did not definitely live with her, but there are suspicions that she lived with others. Aval daima mine, but if she definitely lived with him. Afal gav de daima me'alma, even though there's suspicions that she also was loose with others, basre didei shadinale. We throw it after him. In other words, according to this version of Rava, if we know for sure that the Arus and the Arusa live together, there's no question this Vlad came from him. The Shita of Rava is in a situation where we don't know for sure the Arus lived with her, but there are rumors she lived with others. Amar Rava, Rava Samina Minola, how do I know that that's when Rav said the Vlad's a mamzer? Diktani, because he taught in the Mishnah, Yolda, that if a kohen was mazane with a woman and she gave birth, toichal, she's allowed to eat truma because now she has a kid from a kohen. That's what we learned in the Ion Shir. Now, hey chidami, what's the case? If it's talking about where we know for sure the guy lived with her, then what's the question? Of course, she could eat truma. We know for if he definitely lived with her and she's pregnant, so we know it came from him. If the daima mine, he definitely lived with her. There are no suspicions from the velta rein. Do we need to say she eats truma? El alaf. But it must be the daima nami meyama, that it must be the daima nami meyama. It must be that the situation is where we're suspicious of the world. In other words, in the Mishnah, why do we say for sure she could eat truma? Isn't it very likely that maybe she was pregnant from somebody else just because a kohen raped her? Why do we say that? Why do we say that this kid for sure came from him? So the Mishnah is definitely talking about a case where we're suspicious of him because we know he lived with her. Now, if the cases were not suspicious of the world, then of course she could eat truma. It must be, we are suspicious of the world. And even though we're suspicious of him, because we know he lived there, we're suspicious of the world. And even though we're suspicious of the world, nevertheless, we say it came from him. But, you know, in this case, he was usher to her. And still it came from him. Uma hasam, and if in the Mishnah, delahai isura, ulahai isura, that she's usher to the guy who lived with her, she's usher to anyone else. Nevertheless, basre didei shadinan lei, we say that since we know for sure that she lived with this kohen, we say it's the kohen's kid, then by the arus and the arusa, if the case is that he lived with her, and we're suspicious she lived with somebody else, certainly we should say that he was the guy because she was mutter to him. Meaning the Gemara is saying that it has to be that we're talking about that we're not suspicious of him, but we're suspicious of the world. Because if we're suspicious of him and we're suspicious of the world, of course we would say he's the guy. Because even in a case where she's usher to a guy, when we're suspicious of him, we know for sure he lived with her. And we're suspicious of the world, we hinge it on the guy, even when that guy was usher to her. Certainly where he was mutter to her. So the case cannot be where we know for sure he lived with her and we're suspicious of the world. Because whenever we know that a guy lived with a woman, we always hinge the baby on that guy. Even when that guy's usher to her, certainly when he's mutter to her. So therefore, the case that Rava is talking about must be where we're not suspicious of him. We have no reason to assume he lived with her. We are suspicious of others, and we still hinge it on him. Abai says no. By the way, this week's Haftarah was about Abaye. Huh? Yeah, Shabbos Shuvah. Asher Becha Yerucham Yasa Im Rosh Tevis Abaye. I was thinking about Abaye during the Haftarah. Anyway, the Abaye says like this. Anytime we're suspicious of others, even though we know he lived with her, Rav would say the Vlad Zamamzer. Maybe Rav is even talking about where we know for sure he lived with her. But still, since we're suspicious of the world, we could there's a chashash mamzeres. That is perhaps what Rav is talking about. Rav would say, even though he lived with her, still, since there's a concern from the world, maybe it came from the world. Look, Roiv possibilities are not the guy. But in the Mishnah, we attribute it to him, even though, now if in the Mishnah we attribute it to him, Why do we attribute it to the guy? I thought we're saying that when we're suspicious of the world, in other words, let's get the cheshbon. Rava said that from the Mishnah has to be talking about where we're suspicious of the world, and even so, we hinge it on him. So the Mishnah seems to conclusively prove that when we're suspicious of the world, we still hinge it on him. So then how could you say that Rav said his halacha even when the daima mine? From the Mishnah we see that when it's daima mine, it's definitely him. Because the Mishnah, even though she's usher to him, in the Mishnah, even though she's usher to him, when it's daima mine, then we hinge it on him. So certainly where she's mutter to him. So Abai says, no. If just because it's daima mine, we don't necessarily hinge it on him, we would say that the Rav would say the Vlad Zamamser. So what's the pshat in the Mishnah? Why in the Mishnah are we hinging it on him? What about the fact that it's daima me'alma? Why in the, in other words, here's the question. Why in the Mishnah do we hinge it on him if Rav would say that when it's daima me'alma, the Vlad is a mamzer? Rav always says when it's daima me'alma, the Vlad's a mamzer. So certainly in the Mishnah, where he's usher to her, Rav should say the Vlad's a mamzer. So here, listen to what Abai is saying. That the case of the Mishnah, of why we hinge it on him, why should we hinge it on him? The answer is because in the Mishnah it's talking about there's no suspicion at all. Not from him and not anybody else. In other words, Rav goes so far as to say that when it's daima me'alma, we don't hinge it on him. We say the Vlad's a mamzer. Even when she's mutter to him, we hinge it on the world. So then in the Mishnah, also, why could this Eishes Kohen eat? We should hinge it on the world. The answer is no. It's only when there's suspicion. When there's no suspicion, then we say it was probably him. In other words, when we're suspicious of the world, then we say it was from the world, even though she's mutter to him. When there's no suspicion of the world, then we say it's him, even though she's usher to him. That's what Abai is saying. Why don't we say the same kasha that it's pshita? What do you mean? In other words, that he lived with her. So then, obviously, it was him. He lived with her, and we have no suspicion of anybody else. Because since we only know that they lived one time, it's not very likely. It's a chiddush that from one bia we say that she gave birth from one bia. Because usually we say Anisha Masabrasmi be a Rishaina. So that would be the Chiddush. In other words, we know they lived, but they only lived together one time. So the Chiddush would be Anisha Masab, that even though you would think Anisha Masabrasmi be a Rishaina, it's still possible. Okay, the Gemara continues. Ha Eved Paisel Misham Bia. An Eved passes because of Bia. And then it says, an Eved passes Misham Bia, but if the Eved is the child, if the child is an Eved, the Eved would not be Michael Herbachuma. My taima, Amar Kroha Isha, Vila Deha, Tia Ladoneha. The Avadim that are born to a Shivcha, they belong to the master, they don't belong to the one who fathered them. So we see from here that an Eved is not considered a child. Now a Mamzer passels a woman. Passels a woman means if she is a kohenes and she has a mamzer, she cannot go back to eat truma, she's still attached to the husband. But she's meichel that a eshes kohen could eat truma if the kohen dies, if they have a descendant who's a mamzer. Tana Rabbanan, the rabbis taught, it says, v'zera einla. She goes back, the pasuk says she doesn't have children. Let's see, the pasuk says, "Ubas koyen kisia amana ugusha v'zara inla." A bas koyen that doesn't have zara, she goes to her father. Which we darshan ainli ella zara. I only know if she doesn't have children, she goes back to her father's truma. Zara zara minayin. How do I know if she has grandchildren, she can't go back? Tamiloimer v'zara ain la mikal makayim. I learn out from the words ain la that even if she, at all, any grandchildren at all, she does not go back and eat truma. Ainli ella zara kosher, zara pasul minayin, tamid loymer, v'zara ain la ayin ala. From the words ain la, I learn out, we need to analyze very deeply, even if it's zara pasul, she would not go back and eat truma. V'rek di gemara, how can I learn out two things, grandchildren and pasul children? We have, v'ha'afikta l'zara zara, I already learned out grandchildren. Says gemara, zara zara lo yitzruch kura b'nei banu harayim kabanim. I don't need a pasuk for grandchildren. Grandchildren are like children. Ki itzruch kura lezara pasul. I need a pasuk for pasul zara. Amar le'rish lakas Rabbi Yochanan. Now, the Mishnah said that someone who lives with a eved or a goy, the child's a mamzer. Who does this go like? Amar le'rish lakas Rabbi Yochanan. Kaman, k'rabbi Akiva, d'amar yesh mamzer mechavi lavin. Living with a goy and eved is only chavi lav. So, why does it produce a mamzer? This must be like Rabbi Akiva, that chayvei lavin produce mamzerim. D'yesh mamzer chayvei lavin. Afilu teim rabbanon. You could even say it's the rabbanon. Ba'oved koychavim ve'eved moidu. By a goy or an eved, they're moida. That even though normally chayvei lavin don't produce mamzeros, here they do. The chiyas rav dimi, am rav yitzhak rav dimi, shem rabbeinu, oiv kacham ve'eved ababasa avlad mamzer. Now, the Mishnah said an interesting thing. A mamzer could be Michael, a woman b'tshuma. A woman marries a kohen. If the kohen dies, she can't eat tshuma. If she has a grandchild who's a mamzer, she could eat tshuma. However, a kohen gadol could passel a woman from eating tshuma. How's that? If you have a bas kohen who married a Yisrael, and she has a grandson who's a kohen gadol, so if her husband died, she can't go back and eat tshuma. So that's where the statement came from, better to have a grandchild who's a mamzer than to have a grandchild who's a kohen gadol. Kohen gadol pamim shapoisot tan rabbanan hareini kaparas ben biti kuza. A woman said, I should bring atonement to my granddaughter kuza, that's a small kli, referring to a mamzer, a disgusting kli. Shemachileni b'tshuma, she could feed me tshuma. Ve'eini kaparas ben biti, and I should not bring atonement for my granddaughter, the son of my daughter, Kada, a chashev, a jug, sheposlani mina tshuma, that he passels me from tshuma. So you hear you have a woman, and she's saying, I'm very, let's say this woman was a bas kohen, and she married a Yisrael. Excuse me, she was a kohenes, let's say, that married a let's say she was a, in the first scenario, because the question is, are both of these statements true by one person? So first she's praising the fact that she has a mamzer. Let's say she's a Yisraelis that married a kohen. The kohen died, but she was able to continue eating truma because of her grandson, who's a mamzer. Then she went ahead and she married a Yisrael. From that Yisrael, so once she married the Yisrael, she cannot eat tshuma anymore. And she had a grandson who's a kohen gadol. And then her Yisrael husband died. But the thing is, now she could go back and eat tshuma from the first husband. But no, she can't, because Nebuch, she can't, the mamzer can no longer feed her tshuma from the first husband, because her kohen gadol ainakol is being passeling her from eating tshuma. That's how the Aruch HaNar explains. In other words, this is talking about one scenario. She is a Yisraelis who married a kohen who has a mamzer grandson, and the kohen died, but she was still able to eat tshuma because of the mamzer. But then she married a Yisrael, and then when the Yisrael died, she would have been able to go back and eat tshuma because of the mamzer. The problem is, Nebuch, she has a kohen gadol grandson. Hadrin Alach Almana. We begin Perek Ha'orel. Says the Mishnah, Ha'orel, uncircumcised person, the major machlokes, is this even talking about somebody who Mesu Achav Machmas Mila? Tosfos quotes Rashi, and Rashi himself says it, that even someone whose brothers died because of Mila is disqualified from eating Truma. Tosfos Yeshanim asked on that, that then under those circumstances, he's an oinus. If the reason why he didn't get Mila is because his brothers died, he should still be able to eat Truma. That's an interesting machlokes. Okay, maybe we'll see that if we dig into something. V'chol atmeim, anyone who's tamei lo yoichlo b'truma. But nesheim, their wives, avdeim, and their slaves, yoichlo b'truma, because they're not inherently disqualified. Petsua daka, someone who has injured or crushed testicles. Ukrus shafcha, someone whose eiver tashmish is severed. Hein va'avdeim yoichlo, they could eat truma, because this doesn't disqualify them from eating truma. Their slaves could eat truma, unesheim lo yoichlo, their wives cannot eat truma. Now, why not? Rashi says that because when they lived with their wives, it renders them a chalala, because they lived with a pasala. That's also highly questioned. What do you mean they lived with a pasala? Only someone who's pasal to kahuna renders a woman a chalala, not someone who's just a p'tua dak and a krishuvchas also love a b'kahal in general. But that's what Rashi says. Rashi says it renders them a chalala. Other Rishonim say it renders them a zoina. But if the Krushuvcha and the Ptuadaka did not live with them, Mishanasa Ptuadaka or Krushuvcha, if they did not live with them from the time they became a Ptuadaka and a Krushuvcha, they're allowed to eat Truma. Veizel Ptuadaka, what is the definition of Ptuadaka? Kosha Niftsu Habetsim Shalai. Anyone whose testicles are crushed, Vafil Achas Mehem, even one of them. A Krushuvcha, Kol shenichras hagid, anyone who the member is severed, vimnishtayer me'atara afilu kuchod asara kasher, if there remains on the corona even a hair's breadth, it's kasher. Rashi explains that if even the tip was cut off, it's kasher, because that's not considered part of the Eivar Tashmish, it's just basar ba'ama. The gid, the definition of the gid is from the corona toward the body. Away from the body is not the Eivar Tashmish. The atara is the row of flesh that encircles the circumference of the Eivar where the mila is. And then it tips down to the away from the body. So that's a crush shivcha. Says the Gemara, Tanya, Amr Abelazar, Minayin la'orel shein oichel b'tshuma. From where do we know an orel can eat tshuma? Nemar toishav v'sachar b'pesach. It says toishav v'sachar by the Karim Pesach. V'nemar toishav v'sachar b'tshuma. And it says toishav v'sachar by tshuma. Ma toishav v'sachar hamar b'pesach orel asar by. Just like by Karim Pesach, an orel cannot eat the Karim Pesach. Af toishav v'sachar hamar b'tshuma Aral Asrabai. So too the Toishav and the Sachar that it says by Truma, an Aral cannot eat. It basically it's Gzer Shava, we learn that from the Karim Pesach, just like an Aral and a Tame can eat, an Aral can eat, so too an Aral cannot partake of Truma. Rabbi Kiva Oimer, Rabbi Kiva says we don't need the Gzer Shava, because Hareyu Oimer, Ish Ish, it says in the Pasuk, Ish Ish. Ish ish mizera aron hakem v'tzuro izav ba'kachim lo yitar ish ish is marbe a oral. Amar ma'ar Rav Lazar oimer nemar toishav v'sachar b'pesach v'nemar toishav v'sachar b'tshuma ma toishav v'sachar b'pesach oral aser by. Just like the words toishav v'sachar that are stated regarding karm pesach and oral cannot eat it, af toishav v'sachar b'tshuma oral aser by. So that's gzeira shava. Now there's a major analysis when it comes to Gzeira Shava. Does Gzeira Shava have to be extra? If the words that are being used for Gzeira Shava are extra on both sides, everybody agrees, you cannot refute Gzeira Shava. If they're extra on one side, or they're not extra on either side, then there's Machloikis Tanoim, or Machloikis Amoraim. If one is extra, it's machlekes tanoim. If neither are extra, it's machlekes amaroim. Whether you could still learn the Gzer Shava. Now, everybody agrees, even if they're not extra, you could learn the Gzer Shava, but you might be able to ask a pircha. So we say like this. Says Gemara, Mufna. These words, Toisha v'sachar, are extra. Dilav Mufna. Because if they would not be extra. Ika l'mifrach, you can ask the following question. Ma l'pesach sheken chayavim alav mishum pigol. Ma to the current Pesach, that you're chayiv on it for pigol. There's a concept that if you have improper thoughts when you're shechting or being maktir, it renders the carbon pigol, v'noisar, you can't leave it over, v'tame, and you're chayiv for tame. So therefore, there's a pircha. You can't learn out, just like an RL can't eat the Pesach, can't eat truma, because the RL has many, many disqualifications. The carbon Pesach has many other disqualifications. So it must be extra, and since it's extra, you can't ask a pircha. Says the Gemara, Layaf nuye mufna. Yes, grant, yes, in fact, it is extra. You're right, it is extra, and in fact, is extra. Says Gemara, hai mufna. Which words, toisha b'sachar, are extra? Eid the truma. If the toisha b'sachar by truma is extra, what do you mean? Mitzrach tzrichi. We needed to say toisha b'sachar by truma. Right, we know that only a Eved Kanani of a Kohen could eat Truma, but not a Eved Ivri, whether it's an Eved Ivri HaKonei Lashonim, or an Eved Ivri that is a Nirtza. The Tanya, it says, Toishav, a Toishav Zekonei Kinyan Olam. That's somebody who you have till Yoival. Sachir Zekonei Kinyan Sham. That's someone who you have until for 6 years. And neither of them could eat Truma. Says the Gemara, why do you need it to say... So therefore, they're both needed to tell me a kano kenyan oilam can eat truma and a kano kenyan shanim can eat truma. It says Gemara, v'yoymar toshva yomar sachar. Just say that an eved ivri that you own until yoival can eat truma, and then I would know for sure an eved ivri that you only own for a couple of years can eat truma. V'aniyomar kano kenyan oilam ino oichal kano kenyan shanim leikol shekain. No, it's not clear which one is a toshav and which one is a sachar. Ilu keno yisiyomer, if it would say that, I would have said toishav zekonu kinyan shanim. That toishav means you have it for a few years, but in fact, avakonu kinyan oilam, if you would own the eved ivri forever until yoival, oichel, you could eat it. Ba sachir, so the sachir comes. Vali made al toishav, sha'af al pisha konu kinyan oilam, even though it's konoi forever, meaning until yoival, eno oichel ala, eno oichel, you can't eat. So the toishav is sachir by Karban Pesach is the Toshav Pesach by Truma is not extra. Elo de Pesach, it must be it's extra by Pesach. Elo de Pesach Mufni. It must be it's extra by Pesach. Says Gemara, "Hi Toishav v'Sachir the Kasser Achmana bePesach." My new, what is the Toishav v'Sachir that it says by Pesach? I name a Toishav v'Sachir Mamish. If it's a Mamish, a Toishav v'Sachir, Mishum dehavale Toishav v'Sachir ifter lami Pesach. Because it's a Toishav or a Sachir, because someone's a Toishav v'Sachir, he doesn't partake of the Karm Pesach. What does the pasuk say? Toishav v'sachir lo yoichal bai. Why would an eved ivri not eat it from the Karm Pesach? So, in other words, the Gemara says, "V'kaimelan gabe truma d'loyachil." We know that the eved ivri doesn't eat the truma. Amaloi kani leirav. That means the master doesn't own him. So, if the master doesn't own him, so then he should be able to eat from the Karm Pesach. Chachanami loy kani leirabe. So, in other words, why do I need to say toisha v'sachir loyoychal bay? It can't be toisha v'sachir mamish, because a toisha v'sachir mamish for sure would eat. So. Ella, so why does it say Toisha v'sachir? It's just to say extra words, so we should be able to darshan gzera shava. Okay, we're going to see when we could do Amud Beis. The regular Monday and Tuesday night, I'm not going to be able to do. I'm speaking every night this week. So either we're going to have to do it later one night, or we're going to have to find time to do it. Okay, everyone, thank you very much for joining. Bracha v'atzlacha. And I guess next week, we'll have to do again Sunday morning, and then, I don't know, we'll figure out Amen Beis.
You've just experienced another Torah class brought to you by TorahAnytime.com.